So it's time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. So, Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, it's a little early, but I'm doing all right. And early
yeah,
for you,
about,
too. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that about sums it up for me, too. A little early, but doing okay.
All right, good. So, first of all, the Dodgers, they win, and then they jump in the pool. What do you think of that?
I didn't think that was terribly cool. I thought that was a little bit over the top. I mean, it just strikes me funny that they would even think of doing something like that. But those are the Yasiel Puig Dodgers, you know. They're winning. Sometimes it's not too pretty. Sometimes it's completely against protocol or fundamentals or code or whatever. And it's fascinating to me, but I think it was, I don't think it was very smart, but definitely not very cool. It's something that Diamondbacks are going to remember. What was your reaction?
Well, it's a competitive sport, and you just don't humiliate another team in their park. It's like Terrell Owens. Didn't he jump on the insignia?
Yeah, he should have been shot for that. Not literally, but yeah.
So, you know, there's a certain amount of class. In other words, if something good happens in someone else's house, you don't go running around in their house knocking things down or, you know, going in
there. This is a sport where if you hit a massive homer and flip your bat, it kicks off about a half dozen guys. So, I mean, remember the way baseball people think and the way revenge can be exacted.
Yeah, you're right. It's a different kind of Dodger team with Ramirez and Puig and Kemp.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're a very dangerous team. You know, we're looking at all the teams that are going to get in, and I know I get in all these little pools of picking winners, you know, of who's going to win the World Series. It's hard to pick against the Dodgers and the Tigers because you need power pitching at this time of year. It's a little tournament, and you got to win 11 games. You got to have a closer. And you got to have three starters, and if you have that, you got a team that can win.
Absolutely, and on both of those teams, you throw on an awful lot of power. I mean, the heart of the Detroit order is just fabulous. The Dodgers are coming out with Puig, and Kemp looks like he's healthy again. Hanley Ramirez is just going off the charts, and Gonzalez. And yeah, I agree that was for the World Series. Although it'll be interesting, it looks like the A's might draw Detroit, and that they've obviously had some problems with them in recent years in the postseason. But new year and the A's had the good pitching, too. They certainly don't match up hitting-wise, but that could be an interesting series.
Yeah, pitching tells a story. I don't care what it is. That when it comes down to these short series, you know, you're down 2-1 and you got a good pitcher going, you're back in it and you can win it. And we saw it with the Giants. We saw it with the Giants.
Yeah.
Hey, Max Scherzer, one number 20. Bruce, there's still something magic for me when a guy wins 20. I don't care what the stats say, 16-game winner and he's got a whip of this and batting average of this. You win 20, and you put that 2-0 next to your name, I tell you, it just gives me chills.
There's no doubt it's still a very important stat. I just find it repulsive that the stat guys have decided that it doesn't mean anything anymore. I'll tell you one thing, it means an awful lot in every clubhouse. I mean, Bochy went out of his way last night to try to get Lincecum still in there eligible for a win. Didn't happen, but he knew it was meaningful to Lincecum. And, you know, if it means something to the players, you know, heck with the stat guys. You know, they're trying to come up with their own stuff that denigrates the RBI, the batting average, the wins. But 20 wins, like you say, that speaks to endurance. It speaks to pitching well when it matters in a ball game all season long. And it's especially hard to do it in these days when guys, you know, if they go six or seven innings, they've done their job. So the 20 wins in this era, to me, I think is very special.
Yeah, and you only get 32 starts or 33 starts. So to hang around long enough, and, you know, and the bullpen's got to help you, but, you know, you're going to throw 200 innings. So, yeah, I tell you, I like it. I like seeing it, and I just like seeing the number 20 next to a pitcher's
name. That's a great look, believe me. It looks, and you know, this looks great on your stat line for in terms of contract and how other teams look at you. You're a 20-game winner. That means a lot. Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it. Hey, you're in New York City. All right, I like that.
Yeah, I wish I was in New York City.
Bruce Jenkins with us. Excuse me, Bruce Jenkins with us this morning. Looking at Todd Helton, and you mentioned him in your column this morning. Hall of Famer?
I don't think so, Marty. And, you know, it's not as if I'm denigrating him in any way. I mean, he's been around for, I think, 17 years. He's been a rock of that franchise, put up some real good numbers, been a real good player for all these years. But My main criterion always is if he strikes as a Hall of Famer, you know, at the time in the 5, 6, 7, 8 years of his prime, and he never did. And again, I'm not trying to put him down in any way, but I just don't think he that's not how I viewed him. I didn't view him as one of the absolute greats of the game. I just thought he was a terrific player. Probably benefited quite a bit from playing in that park, but for me, I'd say no. How about you?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I got to look at how the numbers stack up, but he's pretty darn close for me. And the Colorado thing doesn't bother me as much. He's, you know, the doubles are up there. One of the all-time leaders. He's hits over 300. And if you're going to put Bagwell in and Biggio in, I don't know. I don't see that much of a difference between him and these guys. So I think I'm more in line to get him in than not. For the
I certainly wouldn't take it as some kind of outrage if he gets in. I mean, like I say, he's all about longevity and numbers, and as a person, you know, really a rock solid guy that was respected in that clubhouse from start to finish. So I mean, he certainly has a lot of the qualities.
Yeah, other than what Wayne Hagen said, didn't Wayne Hagen make a comment about he used some drugs and, you know, 10 years ago or something?
Oh yeah, that was strange. That kind of came out of the blue. I didn't get that.
Yeah, that was that's the only mark against him. But yeah, I think he is. I think he's that. You know, when you hit over 300 in your career, and you got 600 doubles, that to me, that's pretty good. What about Andy Pettit? We see him tomorrow. Yosmero Petit and Andy Pettit. They're going to have fun with that one. And Petit for everybody.
Tom Pettit's going to show up, too. Yeah. I think he's going to throw out the first ball.
I like that when you said that. That was great. Petit fours for everybody. You know, something else, you know, he has more wins in the postseason. I realize that there's so many layers of it. But you know what, 255 wins and so many World Series titles. He was the rock of those teams. I think he's pretty darn close.
Yeah, pretty darn close for sure. I was in the stadium in Atlanta in 96 when he had – probably to this day is his greatest moment, unbelievably clutch performance with the whole world watching. And he was that kind of pitcher, which that kind of stuff always matters to me. I mean, obviously some guys never get the chance to be on that stage, which is a shame, but he had many chances, and he was right there more often than not. I mean, he was like their modern day Whitey Ford. You know, he was a money guy when it really mattered.
Yeah, very much. That's a good comparison, because Ford would be that guy when they needed the win. He would get out there. But in 1960, Casey Stengel didn't pitch him in Game 7, and I know they regretted that. But, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been 2-1 instead of whatever.
10-9. 10-9, and Ralph Terry would have had a nice off-season. Let's put
it. Yeah, we never would have heard of Hal Smith as prominently as we remember him.
Who is the uncle of Tim Flannery, by the way.
That's right.
All right, hey, we got to run. I could talk to you all day. You know that. So tomorrow morning, 8:30, and we'll talk a little bit about Yankee Stadium and just the hallowed ground.
Sounds good, Marty. Look forward to it.
Enjoy your day. All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Okay.